Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
It's ButtPod 181.
181 staycation fun. Pierre and I are currently on holiday in Cornwall, at the tip of this country, this beautiful country of ours.
The Celtic fringe, or centre, if you're Celtic.
And although we are on holiday with a bunch of great guys and gals, BudPod doesn't go on holiday.
Nope, very rarely anyway.
We've brought BudPod on holiday with us.
Yeah.
It's begged to come as we were leaving the house. He said, no, take me! Take me!
Travel-sized BudPod.
Yeah, this is travel-sized BudPod.
You can get them at WH Smith's.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just it's a pocket-sized bum that opens up and...
it's three magnetic plastic poops.
Yeah, so you don't lose them.
And they don't slide off the board when there's turbulence or... The yeah. ship lists to one side.
Yeah. Very handy to have with with you at all times. Has anything happened recently?
They've changed the meaning of the word staycation, apparently. People are annoyed.
Oh, yeah?
Apparently it's supposed to mean staying in your house.
Oh, right.
But I'd never heard that version of it until...
Yes, but in a globalized world, one's house is...
Yeah.
The meaning of what a house has gotten bigger, right?
Hey, do you know who has a big house?
President of the United States.
Yeah, pretty big house. White House.
Yeah.
Oh, and the Queen! The Queen! The Queen died.
Yeah. It finally happened. I can't believe it finally happened. And so quickly. It makes me... I always think of this, Hemingway, what Hemingway said about going bankrupt.
Well, he died quickly. He died quickly.
Yeah. But he said of going bankrupt, it happened little by little and then all at once. And, God, the Queen, she went in a day in the end. And did you have this feeling when the news started coming in, I was like, my feeling was, oh, no, I'm too busy for the Queen to die today.
Another thing to think about.
Yeah. I always assume these things will happen when we've all got a bit of time.
Yeah, I watched the initial coverage switching from who knows what's going on. Like, they were talking all really slowly.
Yeah.
And then I watched the switch over to confirmation and then, like, the pre-arranged video, and then I was sort of satisfied because I knew that for the rest of the day it would just be
montages
and people who don't know anything guessing, and that's fine. Whereas I thought it's good to watch the moment where the switchover, where you go, oh, you know, I saw it, you could say.
Yeah, because otherwise it is just people on the BBC telling you what a queen is.
Yeah, or just incredibly slowly describing gates.
Yeah.
Very splendid gates.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't envy them that job, but it is silly that they... I suppose they can't look away, can they? Because they don't want to be caught in between... Squirrels learn to play the piano in Buckinghamshire, where... Her Majesty has passed. You don't want to be doing any handbrake turns on that day like that.
Yeah, you really can't. And so you just have to keep looking at some gates going, of course, the Queen is a monarch, female monarch. she became the Queen when her father died.
Her father, the King, of course.
Father, the King.
A male monarch.
It was male. So when the monarch is male, they're called the King. And when they're female, it's very quite Trumpian, actually. When they're male...
They call a king. When they're a female, they call a queen. I don't know who decided on that. Yeah, rolling.
This is what they do.
Rolling gibberish.
Yeah.
If you someone whose brain is just constantly just going like, nah, 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 just like a lawnmower someone's left on.
Yeah.
Just bleh, just constant. Yeah, I was honestly surprised by the lack of insane hysteria.
Yes, you're almost disappointed.
Yeah, well, there was some dogshit poetry being shared.
Some dogshit poetry, some unhinged people going to Buckingham Palace where she was not.
When Windsor.
And Windsor.
People travelling half an hour just to stand outside a building that she's not in to sort of look at it. A very, as I said to you, 14th century mindset.
Of like,
well, this is where the proclamation will be read out by the liveried man. And you're like, well, I mean, you're not wrong, but you have a phone.
Yeah.
Like, you have a news channel on a television in your house.
I'm always amazed by, I always wonder who these people are, the ones who turn up at Buckingham Palace during a royal event, or fucking Tower Bridge on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Or... And you go, wait, are these the extras? Are these the extras of life? Because you can't imagine them living individual lives. They only exist to me as crowds. Because they go to things that should have a crowd, but you as an individual would never want to be a part of that crowd.
And you would know that there will be a crowd because that's what they're famous for.
Yeah.
It's being a really crowded event, like Tower Bridge on New Year's Eve.
But I can imagine the crowds going, but I can't imagine individuals deciding to go.
I can't imagine someone booking time off work to loiter outside a royal event dressed like that.
Yeah. And getting there early enough to get to the front. Like, I always think this, you know, that when the royals turn up at Buckingham Palace, if something's happened, like this time with Charles, King Charles, he turned up and he's shaking the hands of all these people who are the gates, are these barriers reaching over. But of course, those people are the most insane because they turned up earliest to make sure they were at the barrier so that they could shake Charles III's hand.
Yes.
So I always think, do the royal family think all people are fucking insane? Because they've only met the ones who turn up early enough to get to the barriers. And then not only are they the ones that are nuts enough to turn up at all, but they're the ones nuts enough to turn up early enough to get to the front.
Do you think that...
And these are the only people the royals meet.
Do you think that is the ultimate security protection for them? Is that they're like, yeah, ISIS are dedicated, but they're not as dedicated as these fucking weirdos. And these weirdos form a kind of fanatically loyal flesh barrier between us and the actual public /terrorists.
Yeah, all these terrorists like around the perimeter turning up late going, oh, fuck. So, excuse me.
Could I...
Can I just squeeze past? Oh.
Yeah, with a big rucksack. No. Never get to the front. Do you think... I always often think this. You know there's that old joke where like everywhere the Queen went smelt like fresh paint.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. I sort of think, well, you know, she does... The royal family do enough grubby things that's not true. Like, sweaty island visiting Prince Andrew... Sorry, not sweaty.
Yeah.
I mean, he was in the army for a bit. And, like, I imagine that even if you're a prince, other people in, like, army barracks kind of give you a bit of a kicking.
Yeah.
You know, or a bit rough around you.
Mm. Mm.
Or if you go, like, if you're, like, a young prince at, like, a boarding school, I'm pretty sure someone's going to try and slap you over the back of the head pretty hard, right? Now, imagine if you could bully a prince, basically, is what I'm saying. Come on.
You take the opportunity.
It has to have happened. And like, so they must have experienced things that were not perfectly curated. But then do they just go like if they're at a traffic light and someone beeps them, is that so, like they've experienced it, but is it like, what an incredibly rude, crazy person. Like, do they still think it's much more rare than it is?
Yeah, I reckon so. Because I reckon things like, you know, their army training and getting sort of bullied a bit in the barracks, it must be the equivalent of one of us, say, going to the London dungeons and someone goes, ha ha ha, 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 I'm nasty, and you go, ooh, this is fun, isn't it? You know, imagine if this was all the time.
Yeah, imagine if I really was like executed.
Exactly.
A witch.
Imagine that is the equivalent to that, right?
Yeah, a simulation of normal life that makes you more grateful for your royal life.
Yeah, so when something rude happens outside of that context where they'd expect a little rough treatment, I would think that's still a shock.
Yeah, yeah, because it would be insane statistically to think they'd never experienced it, but I think it makes more sense to me that they would be like 90% more put out, like as in like shocked and see it as unusual.
Mm.
That man told me to hurry up.
Mm.
You know, what a rude man. Mm. That kind of thing.
I reckon there are some royals are more like than others. Andrew definitely gives me that vibe.
Yeah, spoiled evil king.
I mean, and you can see it in Emily Maitlis' interview.
Yeah.
Where he's so clueless about the real world that he gives himself the worst performance of the worst defense of his case imaginable.
Yes, yeah.
And afterwards, reportedly, thinks it had gone well.
Yeah, I mean.
And I think you have to be sort of Disney villain level clueless.
It's he has powerful Joffrey energy.
Yes, Joffrey. Yeah, exactly. Yes, that's exactly what I'm thinking of.
He's got very powerful. But Mummy said I could.
Yeah.
And you know who she is, like that kind of vibe.
Yeah. Whereas Charles seems to get it a little more.
Yeah.
A deal more.
He seems to have maybe if you're the actual heir, you suffer a bit more because people are constantly going, can't do that.
Yeah.
Watch out.
Yeah.
We have a king now.
Yeah.
I was saying last night how fucked up it sounds in my head saying send him victorious.
Yeah, on the drive over here we listened
happy
to
and glorious.
We listened to a rendition of God Save the King on Radio 4 and it was odd.
That's so weird.
Yeah. I feel like I'm in a graphic novel when someone says God Save the King.
And we're in an Alan Moore universe now.
Very V for Vendetta here in God Save the King.
Yeah, God Save the King. Send him victorious, happy and glorious. Is it gay to wish another man to be happy and glorious? To be sent happy and glorious.
Well, there's a new
bros.
There's a new line now. After send him victorious, we all have to sing No Homo.
Yeah, send him victorious, No Homo. Happy and glorious, bro. Long to reign over us, God save the king. Is it weird? Is it a sign of a kind of remaining innate sexism that it feels more grovelly to sing it about a man?
I was just about to say, it feels a lot more toxic. God save the king sounds so much more toxic.
Yeah,
God
yeah,
save
yeah.
the queen. Although there was obviously something inherently obsequious
yes.
about saying God Save the Queen. At least it was a lady, so there's some element of
she's probably nice.
Yes, and also look at us proclaiming our loyalty to a woman at the head of the state.
Yeah,
but now that it's a man, it's just full on groveling. You're right.
It is. It feels sort of Central Asian, like who was the guy in charge of Kyrgyzstan? The Turkmenbashi. He changed his name.
You're on your own.
It's like master of all the Turkmen, Turkmenistan.
Right.
He built a revolving gold statue of himself, so it was always looking at the sun. It's a bit like that, it feels.
Or
he
just sat on a lazy Susan.
Yeah, yeah. So
if someone wanted his attention, they had to reach over and go, tweet, 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 and turn him around.
Ooh, and right as someone else was reaching for him, and they go, no, you go, you talk to him.
And he just there, sort of share. Neutral face spinning around.
Yeah, like an efficiency thing that some sort of Silicon Valley guy would install in his office. It's a busy Susan.
Busy for when I'm busy. Susan.
Busy Susan. It revolves really quickly, busy Susan. Long to reign over us.
Yeah, that sounds bad now.
Yeah, please, Daddy, reign over us.
It's kinky. God Save the King is kinky,
God
maybe.
God save the King. So a little K in at the end there. King. Any schoolboys listening? Bit of a laugh there for you.
What do you mean?
They could just say, God save the kink.
Oh, yeah.
Kink.
God save
just at the kink. End. Can't do that with Queen.
Yeah. Queen. Getting used to.
Yeah, it's pretty strange. But I was disappointed by the lack of hysteria. I think I was expecting Captain Tom levels of national madness.
Mm.
But I think a lot of that was lockdown. I think a lot of that was that people had been stuck in their houses going like cabin fever, stir crazy for months.
Can you imagine if she died during lockdown?
Can you imagine the madness
that would have emanated from the British public? The memes.
It would have been insane. The paper mache heads.
No, maybe,
actually, it's also her status, like the level of like, show some respect, you know, that there is.
Yeah.
Which stops people from making a paper mache version of her head and walking slowly with some sticks.
Yes.
Because with Captain Tom, it became incredibly distasteful and over familiar and offensive.
Maybe also an element of the Captain Tom thing because his legacy was raising all this money for the NHS, which is donated by the British public. So there's an element of sort of self-congratulation.
Yes, and also it was two religions at once, maybe three. So it was NHS religion.
Yeah.
It was World War II religion.
Yeah.
And just like old people raising money for charity religion.
Yeah.
Like lovely old people religion.
Yeah.
So that's three.
Yeah.
Whereas the Queen is just the Queen. And kind of a bit World War II, but not the same way as Captain Tom.
No. She's more history generally.
History brackets general.
Yeah.
Star footnote at the bottom. Also World War II.
Yeah, and I guess she's more associated with the Empire than Captain Tom was. So
yeah. Well, in an official capacity, I suppose, anyway.
Yeah. And so people are feel a little more complicated about that, whereas because Tom was just World War II, people, that's a more simple thing.
Although I would say that the people who tend to go full ape on these things are not the kind of people who feel uncomfortable about the Empire.
No, but I mean, but
quite,
I think
quite the opposite. Still,
yeah. But I think where that means like
it's more official. And it's more to do with the establishment. It's more to do with established power, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Whereas Captain Tom is like a plucky pensioner.
Yeah.
It's very Britain's Got Talent finalist.
Also, the other thing is, people have left less time to gush. We're out of lockdown, people have less time to gush, and also we have less time to see the gushing.
Yeah, that's true.
So, because we were on the internet ourselves all the time during Captain Tom's after Captain Tom's death, we were seeing everything.
It's that and just if you put everyone under house arrest for 6 months and then feed them lovely heartwarming stories about someone and then kill them off, they lose their fucking minds.
The writing on this season of the UK, Pierre,
has
been wild.
We got tagged in a few of those.
I can't believe they killed off a main character.
Is this the season finale of the UK? It's so gross.
Oh god, the Crown has gotten a bit strange at Netflix.
I just like I react like a werewolf touching silver by accident when to those things. I just hate them so much. A lot of bad takes around.
Lovely bad takes. I love a world event.
A lot
that
of people
activates the bad takes.
A lot of people seem to think that the Queen had a personal hand in the Northern Irish troubles. I've seen a bit of that.
Yeah, or that she personally waged every war of the last 70 years.
Yeah, as if she wasn't the monarch that like basically reigned over the last remnants of the empire, dismantling themselves.
Yeah.
And just sort of went, well, good luck, and went back to bed. I'm sure she would rather have kept it.
Yeah.
But nevertheless.
But she literally can't do anything about it.
No. No, she can't. I'm not one of these people who thinks the monarchy has no power. I'm not naive. But I think their power is entirely diplomatic, economic, and sort of internal. So they have power abroad in the sense that they can probably get sweetheart deals and all kinds of investment things or you know, trade deals and stuff. It's good to send them to talk to the Saudis or whoever. That's power. And they're powerful in the sense that they can literally exempt themselves from laws that get passed.
Oh, really?
Yes, Queen's consent. I'm sure I've sent you the articles about this.
Well, I've not read them.
So, parliamentary assent.
Mm-hmm.
And like Queen's, like the royal assent is when Parliament passes a law and the Queen says, yes, that's a law, and signs it.
Mm.
So everyone's like, oh, if she could never say no, though. She could never say no. There's a different thing. That's royal assent. There's a different thing called queen's consent, which now will be king's consent, which is that laws that might affect the royal household are sent to the royal family in advance, before Parliament gets to the point of debating them.
Right.
And they can fiddle them.
Right. So,
there's loads of really strict laws in Scotland about green regulations about farmland and sort of drainage pipes and stuff. And the royal land is completely exempt.
Yeah. Well, you got to give them a little something, something.
They've got more somethings than enough.
But give them some more.
No.
Give them. Give them.
So that's what people don't realize is that it goes now king's consent, queen's consent, then Parliament, then royal assent. So everyone's like, oh, but the royal family has to agree to pass the laws. And it's like, yeah, I'd agree to pass a law. I'd already crossed out the bit where it says Pierre pays taxes.
Yeah.
Obviously,
yeah.
I'd pass that law.
But is there any limit to this? Can they just cross out the bit that says they can't kill anybody?
It is only things that I think will affect royal estates or the royal household. So it's a lot of it is like rural stuff or property stuff.
So it's more about like Royal Family Inc.,
the business side, yeah. I mean, to be honest, if one of them did murder someone, it would be pretty...
It'd be a brave judge.
It'd be a brave... yeah. I'm employed by the Queen, and I sentence you. Hang on a minute. That's my boss.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would cause a constitutional crisis.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they have a lot of power in that sense, but they don't have any... A lot of the sort of tanky weirdos who pop up on Twitter here and then seem to think they have some kind of direct military power, like it's the 1700s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
As opposed to just having the power to say, not me, like, tag, you're it, not me, when it comes to just various fees, levies, responsibilities.
Yeah.
And they're immune to inheritance tax.
But they've got so much inheritance.
And yet... So that naughtiness will keep going. Also, like, a lot of the stuff only came out, and Prince Charles was a big fiddler of laws and ministers and things. Mm. The spider letters, if you look them up, spider letters, Prince Charles. And all that came out because for a little window of time, the royal family, to an extent, were subject to the Freedom of Information Act.
Oh, yeah.
And then all this stuff came out, and everyone went and changed it, so they're not now.
When was that? What was the stuff that came out?
The spider letters.
The spider letters?
Yeah, because of his handwriting is all spidery. That was their nickname.
Oh.
It's Prince Charles writing to ministers saying, do this or don't do this, or I heartily recommend you do this.
Right. Yeah. In spider lung language. Yeah. Spider tongue.
Prince Charles would be found in the upper corner of one of their bedrooms, the ministers, in a royal web. And he would stick his head out of the web and go, if you wouldn't mind... not taxing my land. And they go, and then he'd go, Prince Charles away. Out the window. And do you remember when there was that minister in Parliament who he stood up to speak and then his chest exploded and hundreds of little spiders burst out of his chest with Prince Charles's face? That was the spider left.
Oh, that's what that was.
That was part of it.
Weird. Yeah. I thought that was weird when
I saw it. And everyone had to applaud because technically the little spiders were royal.
Right. Yeah.
Everyone had to go.
Yeah, they don't have to pay web tax.
And they can lay their eggs in an oak once a year.
Ooh.
It's another little privilege that they get. Yeah, the idea, though, as we say, a lot of the bad takes, like, did you know while Queen Elizabeth was in charge that the SAS shot these guys in Gibraltar? And you go, she's not a mob boss. Like, if anything, the version of the royal family you're describing is absolutely to the tastes of, like, Nigel Farage or whatever. That's what they wish it was.
Mm-hmm.
You both have that in common. You both wish it was more like this.
Yeah, you've both got the same fantasy. You're just on different sides of the same fantasy.
Yeah, whereas what it really is just some fairly dull people every now and then lifting a finger to make sure that things stay nice and easy.
Yeah.
Nice and smooth.
And that's why Queen Elizabeth's catchphrase was, keep it easy. She'd raise a finger. Do you remember? I always loved how she did that.
Raise one finger.
Easy.
Keep it easy.
And she got that growl, that's a vocal fry.
Keep it easy.
Keep it easy.
And she would do that and raise a finger and very slowly press the finger onto the lips of whoever was talking.
Yeah.
Like, there's that crazy guy who broke into Buckingham Palace. That's how she kept him calm.
Yeah.
Keep it easy. Like onto his face. Mm-hmm. And he did.
Yeah. A lot of her power was her ability to just say, keep it easy, and and place a finger on the man's lips. Shh. Keep it easy.
That's what she did to Tony Blair.
Yeah.
As he was resigning. Did you feel yourself going crazy at any point? Were you about to go out and buy a load of flowers and jam them into the gates of Buckingham Palace?
No, because I don't take part in them in spectacles of any kind.
You're famously anti-spectacle.
I'm anti-spectacle, unless they're on my face.
Oh,
unless they help me see.
You'll take part in a couple of them, couple of pairs.
Those spectacles I like. But I was sad, but in the kind of sadness of like, oh, we knew this was coming, and you know, I'm probably more along the royalist, I'm closer to royalist than you are.
Yeah,
I'm not royalist, but I'm closer than you are. And I think losing that constant feels sad.
Yeah.
Losing a constant in a very unstable world, it's feels sad. And that made me feel sad.
I'm becoming more royalist, not intellectually or philosophically, but through exhaustion.
Oh, yeah. Grinding you down, wearing you down.
Grinding me down, and my total lack of faith in the British public's ability to choose a sane alternative.
Yes.
Where it's like, if we get rid of this, then I can just picture all the same weirdos just going, well, Mega Queen, and just like a double-sized version of the craziness that came before.
Yeah.
I do think that if you gave a lot of the population the chance, they would just vote to have like an even more powerful version.
Yes. I also think that the royal family's part, and maybe this is nonsense, but I think it's part of the reason we're able to be so secular, is we sort of transferred that the religious fervor
over
that
to we'd
otherwise have to the royal family.
And the state religion.
Yes. And I think that's why people, like you say, go to buildings where she isn't. Because it's a religious love there. Yeah, a religious impulse they have.
Yeah, so that's the other thing, is that, yeah, through the exhaustion of accepting that these urges exist in people, and that it's quite useful to decant them into a kind of side barrel.
Like a carbon sink. It has to go somewhere.
And
it might as well go somewhere relatively harmless.
Yes. We've moved the Wetherspoons of imperial nostalgia
to
that side of the street.
Yeah.
They're all over there now.
Exactly.
Drinking it in.
It's like when someone goes, oh, no, the horrible pub is gone. Oh, yeah, the horrible pub is gone. I'm like, no, that's good. That's where the dickheads were.
Yeah, the horrible pub now, its denizens will be dispersed through all the nice pubs.
Exactly.
Or just the road.
If every All Bar One was gone tomorrow, every other pub would get measurably worse.
That's actually, yeah. Yeah, maybe I do like them in a kind of patronizing... patronizing... flypaper sort of way.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe that's a safe place for all those nutters who would otherwise be like the people who sit and do oil paintings of Donald Trump descending from heaven.
God, do you think if we abolish the royal family, church attendance would go up?
Ooh, hoo hoo hoo. Because people would suddenly be craving a bit more sort of robes, a bit of gold.
A bit of gold and just like a figurehead. Just a sort of slightly mystical figurehead. Something very old.
Ooh.
Something that connects us to our past.
Well, you know, I mean, if we abolish the royal family's governmental role, they kind of still would be head of Church of England if Church of England wanted it. And then they would become this kind of like, it'd be like the Aga Khan.
Very slow to warm up. The Aga Khan.
The Aga Khan, yeah. But once you get to know him, oh, he's hot. But he's like the head of a particular, Shiite branch of Islam.
Right.
He's their like religious head, but he doesn't have like a domain anymore, or he did. So he's this kind of almost like freelance royal and religious figure.
Digital nomad.
He's the original digital nomad, yeah. So maybe that's, the queen would just become this the king rather now. Prince Charles would be this kind of like roaming harvest festival guy.
King Charles.
King Charles, yeah, yeah. But he would just be like going up and down the country like doing C of E stuff. Bake sales.
Yeah.
And I do like, look, I like tradition and I like stability. It's just I get annoyed when I see someone like Prince Andrew benefiting from it.
Yeah.
That's a bit I don't like. But yeah. You have to take
every
take
system it all. Has its scroungers.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. And yeah. I mean people, you know, people say that Charles might sort of shrink the family a little, might sort of
they've always said he wants to
jettison off, yeah, the minor royals, which I think would be a good step. I think there are too many royals. There's too
like the Duke and Duchess of like Kent and stuff, where you just go, who?
Yeah.
And you go, oh, yeah. You go, yeah, just hive them off.
You know, we don't need these hangers-on.
Beatrice and Eugenie. Eugene.
Let's streamline. Streamline.
Yeah, they don't need... I mean, I guess they have security. I don't know. Do people even know who they are? It took me ages to figure out who's who.
Oh, yeah, I still don't know.
Prince Edward. No one ever talks about Prince Edward. Yeah.
No idea.
He tried to be a TV producer, I think.
Oh.
Yeah. Maybe we could get him to... We'll pitch the TV version of Bud Pod to him.
Yeah.
Now that he's going to get cut out.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Were you sad at all about the Queen? Did any of your Commonwealth instincts kick in?
Yeah, I was sort of vaguely sad and patriotic.
Sadder than you expected it to be?
Maybe, yeah. Only just. Mm. I think it's all been... That's what's been surprising me, is that it's all kind of been on the level of what I would have guessed.
Right. It's all been more muted than you'd expected.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been muted, just like predictable.
But you said that the hysteria is less than you expected it to be.
Yeah, what do I mean by predictable? I mean, more like...
Moderate?
Yeah, just everything happening on the kind of way that it's supposed to. Everyone will be sad, then we'll do this, then we'll do this. And yeah. It's like, bing, bing, bing. On schedule, almost.
Yeah. And yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, it all feels surprising on schedule.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean...
It kind of feels sort of like everyone knows what to do.
Yeah, and as you say, the Commonwealth instinct is often to be more protective of these institutions because we've seen what life's like without stable institutions. Mm. And the other thing always that pushes you to be more royalist is the kind of like sixth form anarchist takes that you see.
Yeah.
I'm glad she's dead or whatever. And these are the same people who are like, not always, but often the same people who are like, I refuse to glory in the death of Muammar Gaddafi.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go, okay, well.
Nah, yeah. Well, it's kind of like when you said, back when Europe was poo-pooing the AstraZeneca vaccine, and you're like, it basically turned you into Nigel Farage whenever they did that.
Yeah. It's like, whenever they went, oh, this vaccine, who even knows if it works? And I would just sort of, suddenly like, my trousers going like tweed or... Be like Animorphs, but very simple.
Yeah,
transition.
The ridges of corduroy popping on your clothes.
Yeah, I look down. I've got a cigarette and a pint. No, into his horrible frog voice.
Yeah,
yeah, that's it. Exactly. Where like the opposition to something is annoying or illogically put, then you just immediately go, "Well, then you're dumb." But then equally, I don't follow on social media or regularly look at mad fucking royalist takes.
Yeah,
I got pushed back towards republicanism in the British sense, American listeners, by reading all the incredibly saccharine bad poems about the Queen. So, you know, who knows where this could end up, Phil? Maybe I should just make a decision based on principle and stick with it instead of being buffeted by the winds of other people's stupid opinions.
Yeah, yeah. But we are other people.
I like the idea of the life's extras, though.
Life's extras, yeah.
People who just are preternaturally attracted to areas that are supposed to be crowded.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll go there.
Literally the audience members in Street Fighter.
Yeah.
they exist in real life, and they just turn up at these events going, oh, with them. And if you watch one long enough on the TV, you'll see they start repeating the routine.
Yeah,
it's scripted.
Hang on a minute.
It's scripted.
Sip of tea, waving small Union Jack flag.
Yeah.
Union flag.
And then she turns and says something to her friend.
Yeah, friend, and her friend shrugs.
Yeah.
They're both scripted. Would you have a full fucking mental breakdown if you did see that? If you started seeing it? You'd be pretty worried.
Yeah, I'd be like, oh no, this is a simulation.
And
oh,
it's not that good.
It's not that good. It's got glitches. We need a patch on the universe.
We need a flavor patch. A little download where it's like new animations have been added for the background characters.
Yeah,
and the community really responded well to that patch. How many glitches would you have to see before you sought psychological help?
I think it would be just something that I bring up in therapy later on. And I'd be like, yeah, so for example, this is going to sound weird. For example, the other day I was watching the news and people started repeating their movements. And the therapist just like, oh yeah, and then starts scribbling. She hasn't written anything down for a while and suddenly she's scribbling quite a lot.
Yeah. And then you realize that she's going... Oh yeah, and just scribbling it. Oh yeah, and then she's looping.
Oh yeah, yeah. Nice.
that would be the horror.
No.
Glitch. She's pointing at her. Glitch. Pointing into her face. You're a glitch. And then her head goes like, and she's like, "Hi Phil, welcome out to today's session." And you're like, "No, I broke it."
Witness one Phil Wang. Yeah, that's real Twilight Zone stuff.
Or she suddenly like blinks and starts like raising her arms like a Street Fighter person. Like she's cheering you on.
Oh no.
You go, no.
The extras are glitching.
The programs are merging.
Yeah.
It'd be very funny to have to explain what you think a glitch is to a person. Yeah, how soon would they be like, oh, this is beyond talking.
Yeah.
Terrifying. Well, I'd wait a couple of days
before you said anything.
Before I said anything.
For the first couple of days, you'd be like, nah, I'm imagining.
I'd be like, I'm tired. I'm overtired. But then I would keep watching like the news or anything with crowd shots, Wimbledon, just like,
yeah,
rewinding,
and doing the Leonardo DiCaprio Once Upon a Time in Hollywood meme of like you're seeing something on TV and go pointing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In terror.
Yeah.
That would be terrifying, yeah, to watch someone in the... But I like this idea, life's extras. They just go, let's go to Times Square.
Yeah, yeah.
In New York, let's go there. Let's go to the Eiffel Tower.
Yes, yeah, who's going? Who's going to these places?
Places where they have no instinctive understanding that it is the place everyone wants to go and therefore will be full of, like, tat shops and pickpockets.
Yeah, yeah. I had this feeling in Leicester Square.
Leicester Square, another great example.
I found out the Queen had died right after coming out of Top Gun Maverick.
So you were ready to be patriotic.
Yeah. I was able to transfer that American patriotism onto British patriotism quite readily. But I came out, I was worried it was going to happen while I was watching Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah.
And I came out and I looked at my phone, no update. I was like, ah. And then literally then it went, ba-dung, the Queen is dead. And I came out into Leicester Square and it felt actually quite a fitting place to be because then I just got to walk around and look at life's extras.
Yeah.
And seeing how they're acted.
Yeah, because were they all on their phones? Everyone was like...
Just from time to time you see someone look down at the phone and then sort of stop for a bit and just look quite sort of serious and pensive. And then move on. A lot of them were like tourists, a lot of Spanish tourists walking around, not completely clueless. They don't even know if they'd care, really.
Yeah.
Street performers. I mean, people weren't really reacting vocally in any way I could pick up. One girl as I was leaving Leicester Square, one girl walked past me, and I just heard her go, "She was just such a great lady."
Oh yeah,
like, that felt very like
simulation. Yeah. Oh, God save her majesty.
And then I saw one lady like walking and then look down at her phone and just stop in her tracks.
Yeah.
And then I looked over at her phone and she was looking at Google Maps. She just got lost. But then I just took
it. It was just pornography.
Yeah, just hardcore porn.
Yeah.
But then I just took a little walk around the centre of London. And it was interesting. I was, you know, it felt quite lucky actually to be there when it happened, because watching the small changes in London happen as people find out the Queen had died, I walked past Liberty, that shop, right by Oxford Circus. You know, a big old shop made out of an old ship, Liberty. Yeah. All these ancient wooden beams and panels. And as I walked past it, I saw a guy taking a photo of something above our heads, and looked up, and they were taking down the Union flags.
Oh, to half mast.
To half mast.
Yeah.
And just tying them off. That felt... We were just last night. We were just talking about this new thing that Gen Z is saying, main character energy, where you feel like you're the main character in the movie of life.
Yeah,
and that had real main character energy about it. I felt, you know, walking around, watching London change in reaction to the news.
Yeah, and hearing people say things like "such a great lady."
Yeah. the real mix in seriousness of institution that was. Putting things at half mast, putting flags at half mast. Because it's a funny time to find out what buildings have flags.
Yeah, just suddenly go, like.
Well, that Pret has a flag.
Very, very stressful day to be the flag guy.
Yeah.
Shit.
We've been training for this.
I saw a video of you know, Dean Street in Soho.
Mm.
There's like Soho House, I think, has flags.
Right.
And then, like, Quo Vadis, one of those restaurants, has got those Union Jacks.
Yeah.
Union flags, rather. And apparently, like, there was, like, a race almost where, like, someone suddenly noticed that one of the two had already done it, and the other one was like, fuck the flags! And then it's like, quick, like, shit! Like, how do I... Like, imagine the guy's not in.
Yeah.
The flag guy's not in. I don't know flags.
It's very easy to forget you have a flag.
It's easy to forget you have a flag.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to imagine, from an outside perspective, what strings lead to the desired outcome.
Yeah, it's like when you pull down a blind. You're like, which one? Is it the one near me or the one away?
Oh, God, I'm making it more fluttery. Shit, that looks like we're happy.
Yeah.
No. Like, fuck.
Someone turns the flag upside down. Oh, no.
Like, you don't
it
want
just
it.
Catches fire.
You pull too hard and suddenly it's the ISIS flag. What? No. Why would we even have that string? Just black. Shit. Oh, fuck. No. Stop making pictures, please. I'd be so stressed.
And then the BT Tower, there was a little thing in the sort of LED display that rotates around the top.
Yeah, and which is normally stock prices?
Right, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, it became...
Am I making that up? Is it a stock ticker or is it like temperature and time of day? Like,
I've never looked at it until when I looked up and it was a queen's face and the years of her life.
I had like an 8-bit queen.
Yeah, it was like Game Boy Queen.
Game Boy Queen, yeah. Playable character in an original Zelda.
Very low res queen.
Like a little gif.
Also, all the signs changed, all the bus ads changed, all these billboards you never noticed before. Suddenly, they had all these preset images of the Queen, and then 1926 to 2022. What year?
I think 26.
Yeah.
Born in.
Yeah,
I think so.
2022. I was like, wow, they really, gosh, these really have all been in the chamber for a long time.
Yeah.
These billboards.
I mean, they must update them, what do you think, every year?
Mm.
New photo or same photo for at least 10 years at a time?
Yeah.
Because if the photo's too old, you look like you're trying to, you know.
Yeah, but if she goes on a diet or gets hench or something, then they've got to change the picture. Yeah.
If she gets an eye patch or a mustache.
Yeah.
They go, okay, gonna have to update these billboards or hope for a lot of graffiti.
Yeah. Also, we drove out westwards and out of London, and a lot of the ads were just blank.
Yeah.
The ones they couldn't put the Queen's face on, they just...
They hadn't thought about it.
Yeah.
A very stressful flag moment for them.
Yeah.
Do we have any patriotic ads? British beef? Fuck!
But then the ads that weren't changed were the ones that were all just stuck on.
So yes, of course, yeah. Paper still there.
It was just like, the Queen has died. And then, Forest Rave, Garage Rave, And then, like,
Zippo's circus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mourns the loss of Her Majesty. Yeah, all the crazy, like, all those rave signs everywhere are really odd to me. Nothing's ever looked more like a trap to me.
Yeah, I absolutely.
Just go, who's there?
It's
who's
like going? Something from a Warner Brothers cartoon.
Life's Extras.
That's what Life's Extras.
That sign said there'd be a rave. I'll go there. These are the people we're talking about. What a revelation. I love it. I really love this term. Because it captures it. Yeah. They feel like a group of people I'm very spiritually separate from.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm one of life's extras in the scenes of movies where there's just like a guy on the couch going, "Whoa!"
Yeah, so can you think of a time you've looked around and gone, "Oh no, I'm a life extra."
I'm one of life's extras.
I'm one of life's extras right now.
When I walk past some people fighting on the tube.
Right.
Like two kids shoving each other and having like a fight like in a tube station.
Mm. You feel like one of life's extras then?
Yeah, because I'm walking past going, oh.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And just getting my train. Going, like, oh. I'm not intervening. Like, hey, guys, like I'm Tom Cruise trying to like fucking keep the peace.
Yes.
And I'm an extra there because they're the ones fighting and I'm the one going, gracious, and like not even stopping.
Yeah. Well, if you've ever stopped for a street performer, instant life extra.
Instantly one of life's extras. Oh.
You go, huh? And someone's beatboxing and you go, oh. And you've joined that sort of crescent of people.
You just stand there hurt. Like when you hide in Assassin's Creed. Blend in. Threat goes down. While you go, oh, yeah. Clap. Fire juggling.
Yeah.
Any cinema?
Are you going to watch it?
Going to watch the cinema, you feel a bit like that?
Oh, if it's very full.
If it's very full, you go, the busy cinema crowd. That's what I'm in now.
I feel like a bit like that. The couple of times I've been to Glastonbury and gone to like one of the main stages.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. Any festival.
Any festival.
Really?
I did Hogmanay in Edinburgh one year for New Year's, and that felt a bit life extra-y.
Oh, the gym?
Yes, that's a good one.
Gym's full of extras, you're an extra in the gym.
Yeah, if you're one of a few people running on a treadmill.
Yeah.
That feels very much like an extra.
If you're on your own on the treadmill, then you're a main character.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like no one else is even in the gym, and here they train.
Then you're Rocky.
For their mission. Yeah. Whereas, especially in the weights room of my gym, there's these three guys. I can't believe I've never brought them up before. They come in and they're like mates. They're all like constantly being mates with each other at the gym.
Or slapping each other on the back.
Yeah, genuinely. It's very...
Well, they only ever come in as a three.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. The trio, I call them. And they're not young. They're not like pensioners, but they're like...
40s, 50s.
40?
Yeah.
Like the youngest looking one is 35 at youngest.
Yeah.
And the oldest looking one is maybe 45 to 50. Like there's actually quite an... One's a bit older and two are more of the same age. And they're like very, very like muscly in a kind of... bouncer/drug dealer sense.
Yeah.
They're not balanced.
Yeah.
You know. And they do like very like a noisy pull-ups. And like slapping each other on the back as oh mate, oh not him, mate. Ha 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 ha, like laughing too loudly.
No.
And it's very much like they're the main characters from like Cobra Kai or whatever.
Yeah.
They're from like the evil karate club. They're making all the rest of us uncomfortable with their loud noises.
Yeah.
And just going like, shut up, you know. But then I'm the extra going, definitely.
The gym clothes are all like black and red, and your gym clothes are white and blue.
Yeah, with like a little gold belt, yeah. And they're very evil. Yeah, that's it. They're okay, yeah. Then I'm definitely an extra then. I can't believe I've never mentioned those guys. I find the dynamic really odd, and it's during the day when I'm free because my job is evening.
Mm.
What the fuck are they doing there? And I think they might be criminals of some kind because they're always using very cheap-looking phones.
Oh, interesting.
Sometimes they take phone calls in the weights room.
Huh.
Where there's like, ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Like, it's like not a quiet room. There's music and groaning.
Yeah.
But they're still like, yeah. We're like on the phone.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, they're very disruptive presence.
These guys sound like a nightmare.
No, I don't like it when the trio is in.
Ugh.
They're in there for a long time.
Eesh.
They're in there when I arrive and they're in there when I leave.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. Anyway, well, that's all our time.
Oh, gosh.
It's all our time. It's flown by.
Yeah, yeah.
Royal Commemorative Edition.
It's been a historic episode.
God save the king, I guess. And if God has time, the rest of us.
Yeah, God save the king. And God Save the Rest of Us. No worries if not, God.
No worries if not, God.
No worries if not, obviously. Of course, no worries if not.
God, if even for a second adding us to that makes you want to do it less.
Yeah.
Or distracts from any of the time you spend saving the king.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We really mean that.
And if by next week God hasn't saved the rest of us, I'm just going to send a little prayer saying, hi, just checking you've seen this.
Just saw the king got saved, so it's good that that's done.
Yeah, yeah. Just
now that that's done, is there
any salvation for the...
Just let me know. I'll come pick it up
myself.
You don't have to worry. I won't put you out.
Absolutely fine if not, obviously. Of course.
Absolutely fine. But you're busy.
Yeah.
I understand that now that the king has ascended to heaven immediately in a shaft of light, there now has to be a new king and we have to save him.
Yeah.
So, look, I've got an in-tray too, buddy.
Yeah.
I get it.
God, yeah. But God dang, save that king. God, save that king.
Oh, God. And
God save these two kings.
Yeah.
The Bud Pod kings.
Yeah. Well, we will be away next week, we should say.
Yes, we are away filming together abroad, which is very exciting.
Filming together abroad. We have to get on a plane to go to do some filming.
We're leaving on a jet plane. We do know when we'll be back again. They sent a schedule.
Wait, we won't miss two Bud Pods, will we?
Oh.
I'm getting worried.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
No, we won't.
We won't.
We won't. Phew.
But it's very exciting. We can't say just yet what it is for, but I think you will enjoy.
You'll like it a lot.
If you like us being together and saying stuff talking to one another, we've got a treat for you.
Bad news if you hate seeing us, though, because it is filmed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true, actually, yeah. Mm. I wonder if there are people for whom it'll be the first... Oh, no, there's our own picture on the podcast.
There was that devastating message, though, that where someone said they imagined me wearing a hat. Easily the hardest I've ever been slammed in my life.
It depends somewhat on the hat, but overall not a great assumption.
There's such a small window of light there.
Best case scenario, which hat?
Like a beanie. Best case scenario, a beanie.
That's a bad best case scenario.
Yeah, the little window of light is like, you know, in that prison Bane is in. Like, it's so distant and high. Hat prison. Very few hats that you go, oh, great.
Oh, God.
Maybe a trucker cap. Like, that's podcasters seem to wear those.
Yeah.
But I don't like the idea that I don't think I sound or seem like someone who would have anything to do with that. But then that's our self-images are always a lie.
Well, you do know who does have a new hat, King Charles.
God save him.
And God save him. Hopes he wears that hat nice.
Good luck with the hat. And good luck to all of you under the new regime.
Yes. What does he say in Viva Veneta? Britain will prevail? What does he say?
Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
Is it Britain prevail?
Britain will prevail. Yeah, I think so.
Okay, yeah. Well, Britain will prevail.
Fingers crossed, no repressions.
Yes. Goodbye.
Bye.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.